If you want to hear about the opportunities that we are presenting to our investors, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club. We scour for the best opportunities and present those only to folks inside the club, and that is the only way you'll hear about our deals and what we're working on. We'd love for you to be a part. Again, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club.
Money can enable you to have more time. It can enable you to create more impact. So we all absolutely need money, but money is not the goal. Time and impact are the goal.
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
Camilla Jeffs is passionate about financial education, building wealth, and living a life by design. She is the founder and CEO of Steady Stream Investments, a company focused on providing investment opportunities in large multifamily and senior housing communities. She specializes in teaching the first-time investor how to achieve passive income and diversify their portfolio. Camilla is a triathlete, an outdoor enthusiast, and devoted mother to her five amazing children. Camilla, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Sam. You sound just like you should have a career in voiceovers. Your voice is amazing.
Oh, thanks. Wow. That's a high compliment. I appreciate that. You know, actually, I did. At one point, I really seriously looked into it. I thought, man, that'd be a blast. But then I got distracted in real estate, which brings us to today. You know, the same questions I ask everybody who comes on is, where did you start? Where are you now? And how did you get there?
I started in living in someone's garage. When I first got married, my husband and I, we had no money and we needed to rent a place. And the best place that we could rent was a converted garage. It was like a detached garage that they had converted into an apartment. It was a dump, but we lived there and we have beautiful memories from it, right? in the hard times, you have really nice memories. And so the lady who owned that, our landlady, she actually owned the regular house in front of the garage, and she had converted the garage into an apartment. And as we talked to her, she was really great. She was also a realtor. And we said, you know, kind of like what you're doing here. I like that you have this house in front, you're renting the house, and then you converted this garage. I mean, it's not like great, but hey, it's making you extra money, right? Mm-hmm. And so we talked about that, and she said, why don't you guys try it? And we said, well, we have no money. We can't get into anything. And she said, no, you could buy a house with a basement apartment and rent it out. And we're like, oh, okay, cool. So that's what we did. So we worked with her. We found a house with a basement apartment in it. And like 2 weeks after I gave birth to my first child, we moved into that house. We always like to stack big life-changing events together as well. Right. So we moved into that house. And the cool thing about it was we rented out the bedrooms in the basement. We lived there. We paid maybe $100 a month. We paid less to live in a house of our own than we did in our garage dumpy rental. And the house had a pool. Like, it was amazing. It was so cool. And at that point, that was when I was like, okay, there's something to real estate. I really need to start studying and learning and diving deeper into this. So then our journey from there, we learned about all of the various methods of real estate. And we thought, well, house hacking was great, but it was a little uncomfortable, right? It's uncomfortable having people in your basement and having to take care of them and washing their boogers off the walls when they move out. Like, yeah, well, not great. So we thought, well, let's try a different method. Let's try a fixer-upper. So we bought the next house we bought was a fixer-upper. We moved into that and we fixed it ourselves. So we taught ourselves all these construction skills and learned how to do it and navigated that. And we really liked that. And so we moved in, we fixed it, we moved out, and we started acquiring a bunch of properties that way. Mm-hmm. Now, fast forward to 15 years later, we had acquired a bunch of single families. We had gotten into small multifamilies. We had acquired a fourplex with a partner, and we were doing everything ourselves. My husband was the maintenance man, and then I was everything else. I was doing all of the landlording, all the acquisitions, all the underwriting, all the, you know, management, asset management. I was even mowing the lawn, right? And so we were trying to figure out, well, how can we scale? Because we had kind of hit a ceiling and we were at a point where we didn't feel like we could really scale because we didn't have any more money and no more time. I was maxed. So fast forward, we decided that we've always wanted to purchase an apartment complex. That's been on my vision board for a long, long time. And so, and then in 2019, I decided, okay, this is the year. This is the year we're going for it. We're going to purchase an apartment complex this year, and started learning about that. And it's a whole new animal, right? I mean, I understood single family, I understood small multi, but when you get into these big, like 100 unit apartment complexes, they're valuated very differently than a single family it evaluated. So we had to figure all that out and navigate through that. And then as I was navigating that, I came across being able to invest passively into one of these multifamily deals, right? So like, it's called syndication, right? But group investing. And I was like, what? You mean I can just put my money in and someone else is going to do all the work and I'm going to get pretty much the same returns I got on the majority of my single families that I had before? Are you kidding me? And that was when I was like, this is amazing. So I invested passively first into a syndication and loved it so much that I thought, I've just got to teach people about it. And so I launched my company, SteadyStream Investments, and it's all about teaching the first-time passive investor how to get involved into a syndication and how to diversify your portfolio, how to achieve all of those amazing benefits that you get by owning real estate, but not having to do the ton of work that it takes to own the real estate. So that's where I am today. Have general partner on 3 different deals, and a 90 unit in Arizona, 65 unit in Arizona, and 100 unit in Oklahoma. So, and planning to continue to scale.
That's awesome. Good for you. So you're both on the active and the passive side.
I am. Mm-hmm.
Great. Great. I think that's a valuable skill set that people overlook, as being on both sides of the table. Because I think,
you know, agreed.
Yeah. Because if you're not a passive, and if you're just an active investor and have no passive investments, you don't get to see what other people are doing and how they're doing it. And I think you can learn a lot. I know I have certainly learned a lot, you know, being on that side of it. What did you do with all of your small multifamily and your single family properties?
We sold them. We sold them and rolled them into large multifamily.
Right.
We decided that it was time to stop doing all that management. I needed my time back. I mean, you mentioned in the beginning, I have 5 children, and my children, when they were young and little, we just drag them with us to the properties to go paint and to go, you know, fix up and do the turns. And they grew up in real estate. So they've been doing this with us for a long time, but now they're teenagers, and my mindset is still involving them in the business for sure. But my time with them is very short, right? They're growing so fast. They're going to be out of my house. I'll be down to just 1 child in 5 years in the house. And I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. I need more time. I need to be able to take them on some pretty cool experiences and spend more time as a family and really grow our bond. So we grow it in the business, but we also wanted more time to be able to take them on some pretty incredible experiences. One of which was I took my daughter to Bolivia, and we spent 3 weeks building a school for kids in Bolivia. And it was just a phenomenal trip for us and just full of all sorts of great learning. And it was great.
Yeah, that's awesome. You know, an exercise that I've done that's pretty powerful is to measure life, potentially measure your life by the experiences you have. And so if you take, like, say you've got 5 years with your kids, right? So, but build a spreadsheet. I did this. So you build a spreadsheet and you say, okay, here's the number of weekends. Here's the number of potential trips we have, you know, that we're going to take to Bolivia or whatever it is. And suddenly when you boil all this down to just a few numbers, you're like, oh man, that's like 2 big trips. And then the kids are gone. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Oh man, that's, you know, they have 15 or 10 basketball games a year or whatever. If they play sports, you're like, gosh, that's only 40, that's 2.5% of every single time they play a game that gets eaten away, that of the games I'll never see again. Like, and it just, all of a sudden you go, wait, I got to value my experiences and time with the kids and with the people that are important to you. So good for you for knocking that out. Let's talk a little bit about how you have scaled. I know maybe one of the things that you had mentioned is that you're a general partner on some of these. Have you partnered with other people in the industry to scale?
Absolutely. So as a solo investor, solopreneur, right, doing everything yourself, I was stuck in the DIY mentality and mindset, you know, that I had to do everything myself. I had to control everything, you know. And then when I started learning about apartment investing and learning that it's a team sport, it's not a solo individual sport, I was nervous, because it just reminded me of in college when you're assigned a group project. And, you know, I hated group projects because I wanted to make sure things got done. And there's at least half of the other group that was like, woo, Camilla's on my team, I don't have to do anything. just right. drove me nuts yep. because that was such a poor experience in partnering, right? In college and high school and stuff that I was like, well, I don't really know how to navigate it and do that. And so that was another big mindset shift for me to be able to scale was that, okay, I've got to go from being a solo player to being a team player. How do I do that? So I took a couple of specific steps. I looked at who are all the players on the field, right? I mean, if you think about it in sports, who are the players on the field? And I'm a big soccer player, so I'm going to use a soccer analogy, right? You've got your striker up front. Their job is to score goals, right? Their job is to push the offense, to keep going, to always stay up there and be ready to score goals when they can. We can get the ball to them, right? You've got your midfielders. Your midfielders are your kind of your back and forth players, the ones who are really great in the front and really great in the back. And then you've got your defense, the strong defensive line that they have to stop every goal coming through. And then you've got your keeper, and your keeper is there and has to be a superstar at key moments in the game. So I'm looking at this as I played soccer. I was really great at playing a team sport. So I'm like, okay, Camille, you got this. You know how to play a team sport. You know how to work together with teams. So now you just have to look at the field and you have to identify where you will play best. And so, you know, I like to boil it down to four different roles as in a general partnership. So you have your acquisition specialist, the person who's out there, you know, beating down the doors, talking to brokers, trying to find off-market deals, talking to owners, getting those pocket deals in, and then getting them to close. You've got your underwriter, your financial analyst maniac brain who loves spreadsheets, right? You've got your capital raiser. So the person who's really good at bringing in the capital and investor relations. So a teacher, a trainer, a communicator, that's what the capital raiser does. And then finally, you've got your asset manager. So this is like your person who loves project managing, who on the back end of the deal, it can manage the deal to make sure that it's hitting the business plan, that it's, you know, going through all the milestones and managing the property managers, et cetera. So those four main roles, and of course there's smaller roles that people could play in there, but those are the four main ones. Which one naturally do I think I would be best at? And so as I looked at those roles, I determined that I have a teacher's heart. I, you know, want to take care of people. I want to make sure that they understand the process from beginning to end. And I want to hold their hand all the way through it and just help people get to a better place. And so capital raiser, you know, / investor relations was a natural fit for me. So then I'm like, okay, capital raiser, investor relations. Well, how do I do that? I've only raised capital once in my life for my small multifamily that I did. And what do you even do? And so I just dove deep into that and started educating. I hired a mentor and went through a training program, and it was just phenomenal. And that has what has helped me to get to where I am today. So I'm a key player in that general partnership. And, you know, instead of just saying, hey, I'll do whatever, right? Like, I have a skill set, and this is the skill set I can add to this general partnership.
That's awesome. So how did you go out and find the people that either had, you know, say you're the capital raiser, did you partner up with other people that already had the other seats, or I guess in your analogy, the other positions on the team filled? They were just looking for you to help fill the investor relations side of things.
Yeah, when you're trying to, you know, break into large multifamily, of course it's in groups, right? And since you don't have experience in that, I mean, yes, I have experience in real estate, which helped, you know, people to view me as more than a newbie, right? Maybe like newbie plus. In multifamily, then I've looked for very strong partners, because one of the things is I knew I had gaps, right? I knew I'd never been an asset manager of a large multifamily, although I had launched my own property management company and managed all my own, you know, rentals and small multifamilies. I'd never done it on that scale.
Right.
And so there's, you know, different problems to solve. And I mean, similar, but different. And so I wanted to partner with some pretty strong operators. And so that's what I looked for. And I looked for strong operators who maybe had a gap in capital raising, who maybe had a gap in their investor relations that I could come in and fill that gap. So I looked for people with different skill sets than me to be able to partner up and to do a deal together. And that's how really I got my first deal. And that's how I'm continuing to get other deals and partnering with groups is I come in and provide a specific skill that they need.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. How did you select your other partners in the sense of what they invest in? Was there an asset class in particular? I know you guys are investing in multifamily, but have you researched a lot of different asset classes in that that you settled on, or kind of how did that come about?
Yeah, so I've done a lot of research on asset classes, and my top three are multifamily, assisted living, and self-storage. And so those are the three that I'm focused on right now. So right now I've got some multifamily under my belt. I actually have two deals in the pipeline that are assisted living and one that's a self-storage that's in the pipeline as well. And so those three asset classes, when I was studying commercial real estate and studying about where to place my money, right? I was ready to invest passively. I could have invested in offices. I could have invested in restaurants. I could have invested in medical buildings, but I settled on multifamily because I just like the, I like how it's so recession resilient, but then also it like fulfills a purpose inside of me as well. Because when I was investing before, I was very conscious to take care of my tenants and to really do everything I could to make their life happier and better. Because really, when we provide housing for people, you're providing a basic necessity of life. And so that hits my purpose. Like, I want to make impact. I want to be known as an impact investor. So someone who is creating impact for others. And in assisted living, same way, right? When I toured my first assisted living facility and was talking to some partners about, you know, coming in and helping them, my heart was on fire as I walked around and just looked at the residents and met them and talked to them and just saw that how beautiful you can create life for those in their, you know, in their last years of life. And I just love that concept as well. And so those are some of the things that I really focused on when I was looking at asset classes. For sure, I want to a good return, but I want to see some kind of social return. I want to see some kind of environmental return. And you can achieve that in multifamily too, that, you know, an environmental return, you can reduce your carbon footprint on everything. In fact, I just heard that, you know, Blackstone, they have hired a consultant company and they said, every building that we bring in, you need to reduce the emissions by 15% in 3 years, an aggressive goal to do for every single building that they're purchasing. And we can do that as, you know, small-time investors also.
That's cool. Good for you. Yeah. And finding that purpose and the things that, that kind of make you tick, I think is important in this, like you said, because otherwise money is, it's kind of shallow. And we all need it.
Yeah.
Right. We all need it for sure. But in the end, if that's it, it's kind of not that.
I think about money as an enabler, right? Money can enable you to have more time. It can enable you to create more impact. So we all absolutely need money, but money is not the goal. Time and impact are the goal.
Right. Yeah, for sure. For sure. I've got a little saying in my morning routine that says I can do more good in the world as a rich person than a poor one. Right. So like we need money in order to go out and do things, but yeah, it's not the end. It's not the finish line, if you will. That's really awesome. Good for you. I think you've hit on some really unique things today, you know, finding partnerships, how to select some asset classes. We've talked a little bit about your getting your time back and buying that back in real estate. And I think it's unique that you've been on both sides of the equation there, where you've been the landlord with the paintbrush and the cutting the grass and then worried about, you know, is my lease up to date, you know, who's moving in. And then you've also gone to the passive and active investment side of things. Before we jump into the final four, is there anything along your journey, if you could rewind the tape, is there anything that you would go back and say, hey, I could have done this differently that maybe would have sped your progress up?
I think that making that mindset shift earlier about partnerships would have been very helpful for me, because I was so stuck in the DIY. Like, I have to do everything myself. I can't, you know, I don't know how to find partners. I labeled myself as not a good networker. You know, I'm still working on the networking thing, you know, but it's important. And so had I done that 10 years ago, I would be in a very different place today. So I encourage those of you who feel like you have to DIY, take the leap, right? Join a group. And like you said, Sam, I encourage everybody who's in the DIY, like looking, they want to scale up to multifamily. First step, invest passively. You need to invest passively so you understand what that side of it is and what it's like to be a passive investor and to not hear what's going on with your investment, or, you know, like, so you understand how important that piece of the pie is and how an investor goes through that. Well, $50,000, that's a lot of money, right? Because it's not small beans for a first timer. And so it's important to invest passively first, in my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I've learned a ton. We'd already talked about this a little bit, learned a ton on the passive side. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've got some investments out there that communication is top notch. The distributions are on point every single month. It's like, oh, wait, I want to emulate you. Right.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
then there's some other ones out there like, you know, maybe you could talk to me a bit more. So you get it all, you know, you learn from those. So that's really awesome. Camilla, I've enjoyed this. Let's jump here into the final four. The first question is this: what is one piece of advice you would give to an aspiring investor?
I think I just gave it. Passively invest, right? Invest passively, like start reaping those benefits, put your money to work in that way. And then you learn from that. Then you can go and you can start scaling yourself.
Right. Love that. Question number two is this: when it comes to investing in yourself, what is one thing you're doing to stay on top of your game?
So I try to make it a point every day to do some type of networking, right? I've learned that networking is crucial and important. So even if it's just jumping on LinkedIn and finding 10 people who have made posts and responding to those posts, I will do that and try and network with them. I try to intentionally set up networking times. And so I have calendar times blocked to spend networking because I've learned this. It's who, not how. And there's a really great book out there called Who, Not How. And you learn it's not how you do it. It's not what you know. It's who you know. And you've got to know the right people, and the right people will open the right doors for you.
Right. I love that. That's great. That's absolutely critical. Number three is this: when it comes to investing in the world, what is one way you're making the world a better place?
So I just recently launched with a good friend of mine, a network called Impact Investing Network. And we want to bring together like-minded people who are interested in creating an impact. And we have the four P's. We want to create purpose for people, planet, and profits. And there's just a beautiful intersection there, the impact investing space, where you can create all of those, right? It's not just about money. It's about what kind of impact can you create in the world? And that's where I'm headed.
That's awesome. We had a network glitch there. So I got three of the P's, which was purpose, planet, profits. What was the fourth P?
The fourth P, purpose, people, planet, profits.
Got it. Okay, cool. I love that. That's awesome. That's awesome. Purpose, people, planet, profits. Good for you. Camilla, if our listeners want to get in touch with you, what is the best way to do that?
Best way to do that is to head to my website, steadystreaminvestments.com, where you can sign up for a consultation with me. I also have a free course called Passive Investing Made Easy. So again, specializing in that first-time passive investor, it'll walk you through it from A to Z, what you need to know. And then from there, you can get involved in my network. I'm all about education. I love to send out lots and lots of education and educate my investors to make sure they feel comfortable with their first investment.
That's awesome. Camilla, thanks so much for your time today. Certainly appreciate it.
Thanks, Sam.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen, if you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much, and hope to catch you on the next episode.